permission to record in a robe.
Permission granted.
This is Mona Lisa Baseball.
Okay, now we can cut loose. Thank you.
Okay.
I almost changed.
Here we are with a division winning, wild card winning Los Angeles repeat World Series back to back. First time this happened in 25 years when the Yankees did it three times in a row starting in 1998. Did you guys watch the series?
Yeah, absolutely.
Montana man.
I had a lot of fun watching the World Series this year.
It was exciting. It was a good series.
They showed up. The fact that they were trying to showcase it NBA style, like that type of commercial where it's like Harden versus Curry on Christmas. And they were doing that Vlad Guerrero versus Otani, and really thankful that they both showed up. And it made me think not only of you gentlemen, but we saw some world-class talent in this seven-game series. So that's not anything that Robbie M or MLB can take away. So that was pretty cool. I thought that's what I wanted to share to start.
I totally agree. It was a great series. Game seven, come from behind victory. This is what kids dream about in their backyard. My heart goes out to Toronto fans. The way they lost was, they're going to remember that one forever.
It's not without its controversy. You got to love it.
Oh yeah. Plenty of controversy. And you guys, we're going to talk about all of it, especially the rules related stuff. So
what a catch.
Yeah, A4, did you watch some of the series? Or?
Update us, baby.
I did, especially Game 7. We had a lot of things going on that night. You know, there was a dinner, but yet we were all kind of like had it on our phones. And like, I watched the game eating sizzling fajitas on a couple of different phones, one to my right, one to my left. And then we finished dinner, went back to the hotel, and then a lot of the players were in the hotel bar, like watching the game. And so
you were at a disc golf tournament.
This was in Stockton. So yeah, I've watched the game. I was thinking the ninth inning, oh my gosh, I was about to get a drink because it was a celebratory beverage of what I was thinking that the Blue Jays were going to score because they just put two men on with like no out. I'm like, oh, it's on. Homeboy had a prickly pear Long Island. I'm like, that looks good. Get me one of those. And I can't even finish the order. I don't even get my drink. And then the double play, game over. Dodgers win.
Yeah.
Then they hit you with a steel reserve, dude, on ice.
And now I'm drinking this, like, it was a delicious drink.
It's no longer a victory beverage.
And now I'm drinking this beverage. It's more of like a drown your sorrows beverage.
Well, so you were rooting for the underdog, or you were rooting against the Dodgers, probably.
Put one up for the Dodgers.
I think that's fair to say. And I had a question for A3. How does this make you feel, A3? Because I think you might be the most kind of hardcore SF Giants fan out of all of us, like right now, kind of more the old school. So how does another Dodgers win make you feel as a hardcore Giants fan?
I mean, I'm f***ing torn up about it. I mean, it only makes it more legitimate for them because I was really loving any opportunity to let them have it. Like 81 was a strike series. The COVID year they won was not a shortened season.
Yeah, that one doesn't count. Sorry, LA.
So like,
halfsies, maybe.
Anytime that they were showing like, hey, look how good we are. It's like, no, the times that you've won were dumb. And I can tell you, I was enjoying the game way more as a fan of baseball as opposed to like being a Dodger hater in this one. Obviously pulling for Toronto because why not? Like, was way fun and
sure
was pulling for those Joe Carter vibes for sure. But I don't like Dave Roberts. That became increasingly clear when I was watching this series. And man, defense wins championships, boys. It's all part of it. But that kid, Páez, I mean, there was no bigger catch. And the whole time I'm watching Kike Hernandez, who I think is my public enemy number one on the team. And he got so turned around on that fly ball. I was like, yes, thank you. And that guy comes out of nowhere.
Right on the TV, he came from out of frame, even if you had a widescreen. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm with A4 on that, where I wasn't necessarily at a bar ordering a prickly pear Long Island, which congrats to you. That sounds well done.
First one.
Refreshing.
Quite the order. But
first one, okay.
I was internally going, thank you for letting that happen. And then from that elation to, wow, what did I just witness? And then didn't have time to even really let that marinate because the next play was even more, in a weird way, ridiculous with the stakes, with the Rojas play at home. So it was fun. I mean, I was wrapped up in it and I was really glad to be. It was really fun to watch.
So you guys were really into the game seven. A1, I know you watched some of the series. What are your thoughts?
Oh.
Yeah, I got the tail end of game seven ALCS. So that was my first pitches watched of the season. God. Got to see a bit of every game except game two. I got none. I did get inning 4 through 18.
Oh, boy.
Was that game three?
Well done.
Stayed up till midnight. Incredible. And the only game I saw first pitch to last pitch was game seven.
Okay.
And it's probably the most time invested into a World Series. Well, we'll just say since the Giants were in it.
This is great.
I feel the pretty much I could echo what you guys are saying, where right now I'm putting Hardball at 85% of baseball, real baseball. Mm-hmm. And it's such a spectacular, perfect, lovely game that even though they've f***ed with it a good 15%, I was just as tense as I've ever been watching baseball, wondering what the hell was going to go down. I had an absolute blast. My wife joined me for almost all of it. When we watch sports together, the deal is she gets head rubs. And each night she was saying, tell me there's a baseball game tonight. And it's like, yes, we're on. And she was so thrilled. And I was swept up with good baseball. If the Dodgers were going to be the best team, let's do this. Once it was apparent the Blue Jays were going to win, I was getting more and more happy. And then the comeback happened. And it was crushing. I saw Vlad wipe a tear in the dugout.
Mm.
I have a declaration to make. In a solo episode that I recorded earlier in the season, I thought I was pretty fucking cool for going out on a limb and saying Vlad's going to be a mega bust. Okay. I will never make a prediction about a player again. Not because I was dead wrong, but because that's not what I'm here for. And it was stupid. I put myself in a position to root against that guy. Now, I'll tell you this. I don't like how he stands at home plate when he hits a homer, even if it's only 369 feet. I don't like his finger to the lips. He's welcome to do all that shit. Sure, I don't like it. I don't like how he wanted a ton of money and hasn't been putting up the same numbers. But getting to watch that guy in the playoffs was such a pleasure. Without ever mentioning any of this to Sam, he was her favorite player. And let me tell you how rad it was to tune in to ALCS Game 7. And I don't know anything that's happened. Okay, Vlad steps up and the announcers basically start going off with, well, this is one of the most historic offensive performances we've ever seen by any player in baseball history. And I'm like, okay. And at that point, I'm kind of wavering, like, oh, I made a prediction. Like, ooh, I wonder how good it actually is. But then to actually get to watch him play, get to watch him on defense, when A9 said, I don't know, man, I don't think he's going DH. I think he wins gold gloves. Just all that was so apparent. Even the base running. Huge guy making killer base running decisions. So it put me in my place in the best way it ever could have. So I am done making predictions. I'm done saying Shohei's only going to pitch X amount of games.
Yeah.
I lost that bet. I got exactly what I deserve. So I'm not here for that.
So, your track record's not so great.
No, it's not. No, it's really not. Maybe with a few other things on a larger scale, but player predictions, it's stupid. I'm done with it. So,
well, speaking of predictions, I mean, we made a lot of predictions on rules changing and we were right. Like, for example, you know, you're going to see the automatic balls and strikes appeal next year. Like, we told you that would happen a long time ago, would happen in the 2026 season. One thing that I know that I predicted that I was wrong about, but technically I was right. Let me explain.
Go on.
I said there would never be another like 18 inning game ever again. And we had one in the series, right? Except that they did suspend the automatic runner on second rule for the postseason, which just goes to show you like they know this rule sucks. A1, you asked this question to me. You said right before game seven, you were like, what if they just suspended all the new rules just for this one day? And I'm like, yes, that's such a good idea. But it's like, immediately I went to, well, they should just suspend him all the time. I mean, like, why for just one game? But in that moment, I was like, yes, they should do that. They already suspend this one rule. Wouldn't that be amazing?
I know. A3 had the perfect answer, and there was no need for a response. It's basically, oh, so you're down for real baseball for one game a year. And you go, well, they're not really giving me a ton of other options.
Right.
I might have to take that deal. And I got to say, I was pretty impressed with how little I thought of the pitch clock. You know, the first time I ever saw the pitch clock was in spring training. It was on the screen and I watched one pitch and I left the room. I'm out. I can't do this. They hide it in a really cool way. I could have used more attention between pitches. And because I could have used that so badly, you could see how that's a drag on people that feel like they want to watch every pitch of the season. And they end up wasting like 100 hours of their life every season by people scratching their ass.
Yeah.
But my goodness. I mean, they were moving pretty quick the whole game. And it was cool. It's not the rhythm that I want. But I'll give them credit for it not getting in the way. But one other observation kind of on that note, I watched a good amount of baseball. The only two stolen bases I saw even attempted were on full counts and they were called strike three and the umpire was slow to call it and the guys just ended up getting tagged out like, oh, wait, what? It's a strike. It's a ball. Wait, what happened? So they've even gone to the degree of changing the rules for more stolen bases. And in the biggest series of the year, played no part whatsoever. And
well,
not too many throwovers either.
Yeah, I think a big part of it is this was a big win for baseball, like to be able to put Shohei on the big stage again. We'll talk about ratings later. We'll talk about attendance later, and we'll talk about how things are kind of moving in the right direction. If you're Rob, like things are looking up, and
he's crowning himself for sure.
Yeah, but so the very last thing they want to have happen in this series was like somebody get hurt. That would be horrible. Like if Shohei gets hurt, Vlad gets hurt. I don't know if that's one of the reasons they weren't sending him as much.
Playoff baseball without the rules is such a different beast. I mean, that's one of the reasons why when Dave Roberts, the player, that steal that he had was such a gigantic moment, because it's so risky in the playoffs. And at least when you're playing a game where it truly does come down to every pitch matters and you're hanging on the edge of your seat. And do you want to take the bat out of the hands of the next guy? And the Blue Jays didn't get enough practice on the base paths before this series is what it looked like to me. I mean, some blunders really costed them. I think one of the games ended on a base running mistake. And baseball doesn't want that, or hardball. Mm-hmm. Hardball wants
walk-off.
You to get doubled off.
Yeah.
Or walk-off or something.
They
right?
jam the word walk-off down your throat, that's for sure.
Yeah. Or if you're John Smoltz, squeeze bunt. Guy was down for a squeeze bunt.
I just really enjoyed how intense the game was. I mean, as it kind of gets down to the final moments and at the end of the game.
Game seven.
Bases are loaded. Yamamoto just hit a guy. You know, it's like, ooh, he's feeling a little wild. It's like, oh, pass ball, tie the game. Oh, like a walk would tie this game up. It's just a base hit could win it. You know, a sack fly would definitely tie it up. And
it felt like they were going to do it, too.
All these scenarios that were going through my head, not one of them was a double play end game. Totally. Dodgers win. I didn't quite go to that side of my brain. And I was just kind of like, you know, rooting for the Blue Jays.
Well, they had second and third, and when he hit the guy, now first was occupied. That was the first thing I thought. I'm like, oh, this could end on one pitch now. Yeah.
I know. After he hit him, I'm going, there's no more room. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen now. But I wasn't thinking double play either.
But
didn't cross my mind.
What I do like seeing is just the joy for baseball is still there with a lot of people. And it might take a big game like this to kind of bring it out, but you just see the joy and just the elation when the teams win, when Dodgers win. They're just so stoked, and the highs are so high and the lows are so low, and those raw feelings was part of, you know, being human. And just sometimes it's hard, you can't really express how much you love the sport or the game or what you do or how much blood, sweat, and tears you've put into it until like the final pitch like that. And so you see it all kind of all come out. And I think that's just great that we can still have that in organized sports at any level. A lot of goes into, you know, a final win or a championship, you know, so.
Do you guys think there's a big difference between Dodgers fans and Blue Jays fans?
Yeah. Canadian versus USA.
I think Max Scherzer said it best, and I noticed this too when watching the games and watching the cut to the crowd and stuff. Max Scherzer says about Dodgers fans, he says, they like to watch themselves watching baseball.
Wow.
And I really couldn't say it any better.
That's great.
I wanted Toronto to win, really not so much for the million-dollar players. I don't really hate the Dodgers anymore like I did when I was a rabid Giants fan, but really just for the fans. Like, I wanted to see the Toronto fans win it. I thought they just seemed like they deserved it more. But, you know, part of that comes because the Dodgers won.
For sure.
Their dynasty is established. They won recently, last year. And, you know, the shine wears off a little bit if your team's winning every year. Definitely thought that the Fox coverage was super biased towards the Dodgers. It just felt like I was watching a Dodgers broadcast. And I think it just clearly was. Like, I don't know what to say. This isn't my opinion. It's a fact. All right. Like, when the Blue Jays were doing well, when there was tension, they would cut to the stands. It's like, oh, look, it's Charlie Sheen is here. You know what I mean? Or like, oh, let's talk more about Clayton Kershaw's historic, you know, career. When anything good that would happen with the Blue Jays, I actually turned the volume off. Wow. For Game 7, because I'll just watch it quietly by myself.
I actually had the volume off for every single in-game interview with the managers.
No,
yeah. It's the only way I can protest.
You're just like, mute.
And in Game 7, both managers were trying to coach and manage their team while dumb fucks asking them questions.
Yep.
It's just completely brutal. On to my next point. Hate the dugout cam. Camera in the dugout, sacred space. Can't have it. Mm-hmm. Hate it.
Yeah.
I can't believe you muted the manager.
How could I listen to that bullshit?
I just needed you to watch it because it's so awful. And you were so tuned in. And I had it on my to-do list to ask you what your thought was. And I guess I got it. Straight to mute.
I won't do it.
That was awesome.
I have the video if you guys want to watch it.
Send it, baby.
On the plate when he's either at the plate. Jordan! Sorry, again, this is like the worst interview ever.
They tried to do in-game interviews with managers, and both times the manager just wasn't listening to the guy and's like, hey.
Yeah.
It's just like trying to coach.
Yeah.
I mean, at one point, I think they had to figure out if they were going to appeal something to the replay. So it's like not a good time for the interview, which, by the way, is like 3 questions, which is probably a little too much.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I kept saying that, yelling at my muted television. He's asking another question.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That wasn't the only in-game interruption they won.
All right.
There was.
Feed me.
This isn't new in the playoffs or in the World Series. But they do this stand-up-to-cancer thing with MasterCard. Okay. And in the game, at some point, they do kind of a moment of silence, but essentially it's like, hey, this affects everyone. And so the whole stadium stands up with a card and it has the name of somebody, and they do like this tribute. Okay. And try to, like, you know, have a human moment, right? Which all good. Every sport does it. So on this stage, something that I noticed this year that was
brought to you by,
they cut into the Jonas Brothers playing music in right field. They just started playing a song, and I looked at my wife. I was like, hey, what's happening right now? And she's like, you tell me. And I was like, no, I'm asking you. And I'm like, totally was blown away. And I was lucky enough to have the thread going. And I made a comment of like, is this halftime? Like, what is happening right now? And got confirmation that they just, in the middle of the game, just had a Joe Bro moment for 4 minutes. And then like, okay, and back to the game. And I couldn't believe, I still don't really know what I saw. And do you guys have any insight?
Yeah, they want to be the NFL so bad.
Who are the Jonas Brothers again?
I bet there's people out there who aren't baseball fans who watch it, you know, casual fans. And there were a lot of them, actually. It's kind of a big win for baseball. A lot of people I know who aren't baseball fans watch this series. But a lot of those people are like, oh, yeah, I saw the halftime show with the Jonas Brothers.
Halftime show.
Halftime at baseball.
Oof.
Yeah.
I thought the whole thing was speed this thing up. Like, what's happening here? Like, I just, it didn't make any sense. No.
Well, with all the people watching, now they want it to be as long as possible.
Yeah,
once you're tuned in.
So would they do the halftime at inning, you know, 4.5? Or would they do it like at 7th inning stretch? God,
I don't even want to think about it.
So you're saying get ready for this to come back. That's what you're saying, A4. You're saying on Team Blow It Up, don't get ready. That wasn't a one-time thing. It's coming.
No. Well, to A2's, we just alluded that there's going to be a halftime. I can't believe I haven't thought about that yet. Like, that's totally coming.
Yeah.
For sure.
Ugh.
The halftime show brought to you by Visa, MasterCard, for sure. Yeah, that's on its way.
Oh.
Well, I have suggested when I'm going to blow it up move that they have a live band just right there in the stadium and they play all the walk-up songs and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. You have suggested that before.
Yeah. I mean, why not? Like, let's just do it. Fuck it. It can be the Jonas Brothers, I guess. I don't know.
I did write down the four types of ads I saw the most of, and I saw a lot of commercials, 95% on mute. Phones.
Oh, my God.
Artificial intelligence, medication, and gambling.
And banks.
Okay, there was a lot of Capital One.
It's easy to just ignore them. It's like, yes, a commercial for money.
Okay, check it out. Do you guys know how fucking lucky Rob has been the last 2 years that he got Dodgers, Yankees, two best teams?
Right.
And then this year, the Brewers were the best team, but they got knocked off by a very popular Dodger team against the best Blue Jay team, which doesn't happen in a lot of World Series where you get the two top dogs with all these teams making the playoffs. So you just watch out for Rob crowning himself and all the journalists that are in on it, how great everything Rob's doing is going. Boy, they got lucky the last 2 years.
Totally right.
So lucky.
And they got the game 7.
And it was great. Everyone won, but
yeah, it's like you can't stress how important a game 7 is because it just people come out of
there's buzz.
People who've never watched baseball the whole year will come out and watch a game 7 and talk about it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I think this once again proves that, you know, the more you spend, the more you're going to get back. I mean, the Dodgers spend 70% of their revenue back on their players and they're willing to make those expenditures.
Nice.
And they keep winning. Most teams only spend anywhere from like 30 to 40% of their revenue back to their players. And it's like the Angels could have kept Shohei, but they just didn't pay him. The Braves could have kept Freddie Freeman, but they didn't want to pay him. The Dodgers are like, we'll pay you. We'll pay you. And there's a handful of other players on the Dodgers now that didn't get paid from their former teams, but the Dodgers were willing to pay him.
Can I just tell you how upset this icon on the screen would make my wife?
So I have placed in front of you gentlemen the total salaries for each team in 2025. And I would like to say that in this graph, it does not account for deferred payments. So the Dodgers should be like off the chart, basically.
Yeah.
And other teams are doing it.
Yeah.
Look at the Phillies, dude.
But if you do look at the spending, you can see teams like Atlanta are up there. Like Toronto is up there. This was not a David versus Goliath situation.
Right.
This was Goliath versus Goliath. These teams are spending. And look, we got collective bargaining coming up, like after next season. And if you've got the Dodgers dominating in the way that they have, I think it's going to change the conversation a little bit on salary cap.
I mean, the deferred payment is, it's wild. It's a wild concept that.
Hate it.
I mean, Bobby Bonilla did it. They made a spectacle of it, right? He gets $1 million on the same day every year or something for another few.
More.
And yeah. They just took it to this whole new level, which is just kind of like buying shit on a credit card, I think, if you don't know any better. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, yeah, fuck it. Charge it. We'll deal with it later. Punt. And I'll let the next guy deal with it.
Yeah, it's important to remember, like, we talk about big market versus small market teams, but like the Yankees, that's a global fashion brand.
So is the Dodgers now. I mean,
right, exactly. And when I went to Japan, I saw that shit everywhere. And The people watching Dodgers games, it's like 20 times more than the A's. It's not just like, oh, they were in a big city, we're in a medium-sized city. It's like there's 20 times more people watching the Dodgers. And that's why you get the biased broadcast. you know, we can talk about ratings later, but like the people in Japan watching, like this is huge growth for MLB when they can look and see.
Oh God, it hurts to hear you say that.
I know, but it's totally true.
I know, like, I know. I want you to hit me with the numbers, but to follow what you're saying, they were crowning. Okay, game four was sick. Shohei started. He was on. Game three was unbelievable. So leading into game four, Shohei starts. They were crowning Shohei the entire game. And then at the end of the game, Shohei went 0 for 3, took the loss pitching, allowed 4 runs in 6 1/3 innings. And yet, if you were watching the first 2/3 of the broadcast, you would actually believe that he has never been beat in his entire life or ever gotten out.
Yeah.
Did get 9 straight.
Reached base 9 straight times in a game, which is pretty
crazy.
Once
the game ended and the Dodgers lost and Shohei was crowned the whole game, I looked at the line. You go, oh, so that's the guy you've been talking about. 0 for 3 with the loss. Got it.
Well, they had the audio and visual package all ready to go. Like, they can't just not run all these expensive graphics because he's having a bad game and he gives up 2 home runs to the first 2 batters of the game. Like, you spent too much money on this graphics package, man. The whole, like, I mean, you mentioned it, A3, they had the like Shohei versus Vladdy. It's like, yeah, it's just them, just two guys.
I mean,
a couple of headliners.
Yeah.
Yeah, that getting on base 9 times was quite a feat. And I loved that Schneider.
Unfathomable.
I mean, he just owned it. He's like, we're not going to let him beat us. And Major League Baseball probably hated it. The fans hated it. But you know what would have helped is if they got to boo him during the walk.
Yeah.
And I thought about that so many times because they walked him like 5 times. Now they want to make a rule about it. I mean, I don't know how many more rules this guy's going to get. He's already getting extra pitches and he gets his own, the Ohtani DH rule. So what's the hell? Why not add another one? But my point being is it would have added to the experience. And A1 has harped on that from the beginning of that. If you wanted the opportunity to tell everyone how riff it is, even though it was part of the strategy, that would have been the chance to do it. And you didn't get that 5 times. Too bad.
When I watched ALCS, I probably tuned in the 7th inning. Okay. I've listened to sports talk radio on the way to work all year. I've heard a lot about Cal Raleigh. I have not seen him bat yet. He finally came to bat and I blinked and he was on first base. And it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Right. Oh, they walked him. You didn't know?
Yeah, you didn't even get to see his batting stance.
No, I still don't know what he looks like at the plate.
Right.
They just snapped their fingers and he was on first base.
Yeah, keep this thing moving. Keep this thing moving, baby.
Aether, you just brought up new rules for Shohei. And yes, during this World Series, they were giving him extra time.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Just for him because he's a two-way player to warm up when he was pitching A4.
No.
They ignored the clocks.
The Blue Jays manager was like, hey, look, we don't get this much time to warm up. And they're like, it's Shohei.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's Shohei. He gets extra time because he's a two-way player.
Wow.
Nah, don't worry about it. Well, I thought of A2 the whole time going, this guy nailed it. He's on the pulse because
I know.
What a slippery slope. It's like, well,
I know.
Watch all these new rules come in because
I told you guys.
They're protecting this guy. And
I told you.
I just want to point out, like, it's not new that he hit. Like, pitchers hit. Remember? You guys remember that? It's new that he...
Unprecedented. Take that back, sir. Take it back.
Two-way players are a new phenomenon.
It is incredible how he hits. I'll give him that for sure. But...
Yeah.
Don Robinson was a pretty good hitter, if I recall. And
I was thinking about this today.
It was like, I don't remember him getting extra time or complaining. Yeah. I think Smoltz was complaining about it.
Don't listen to Smoltz. That's your first mistake.
He was taking care of Joe Buck 2.0, or whoever that little kid was who was doing his best.
Like, okay, here's what I noticed. The way he calls a game is it's all about why things happen. He's not calling the what is happening, a Vin Scully style with some stories. It's here's what this guy's thinking. You're going to want to do this. And sucks.
You don't like that style of...
No, I hate it. Well, I don't like John Smoltz because
he can't be right all the time. You can't be in every player's head. You can't be that smart. You know what I mean?
I'm very sensitive to good announcers. I don't like lousy ones. I think Smoltz was better this year versus last year at, you know, getting more experience. He's just not my guy. Joe Buck was not my guy. Mm. I like Vin Scully. I like the Giants guys.
Yeah, we are pretty spoiled. I mean,
can't stand Smoltz. He's rough.
Yeah.
Muzzle this guy.
If it was turned into a drinking game, how many times he was pulling for a squeeze bunt, we would have been hammered. That was the only thing I took of it. Like, what, is this guy serious right now? Like, if you do you have a DraftKings going and you're just hitting the button and like just
probably
willing it into existence?
Oh, I never thought of that. Jesus.
You can bet on anything now.
God.
That looks good. Get me one of those.
What's happening right now?
Yeah, they want to be the NFL so bad.
He's asking another question.
They just started playing the song.
Check it out.
Ooh, he's getting a little wild.
They know this rule sucks.
Those raw feelings, it was part of, you know, being human, and just sometimes it's hard. You can't really express how much you love the sport or the game or what you do or how much blood, sweat, and tears you've put into it until like the final pitch.